In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll continue on page 5, volume 12, 7-2-1918. My daughter, I am all love. So here he uses God's name. I am all love. I am like a font that contains nothing other than love. And everything that might enter into this font loses its qualities and becomes love. So in me, divine justice, divine wisdom, divine good, divine strength, etc., are nothing other than divine love. But who directs this font, this love, and everything else? It is my most holy divine will. My divine will dominates. My divine will rules the others. And my divine will orders. And so with all my divine qualities, they carry the mark of my volition. That's the life of my divine will. And wherever they find my divine will, they make feasts. They kiss each other. And where they don't sadden, they withdraw. So here, Jesus is showing us that God is love, and the divine will is love. It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's why, you know, right from the beginning, it said, you know, he wants us to have his facial expressions. What did, you know, you hear the thing, what would Jesus do? How did Jesus look? How did he look at his mother? How did Mary look at her son? How did Jesus look at the apostles? I mean, it was always with love. Even when you read the Hours of the Passion, Jesus looked with love at those that were crucifying him. God is love. And the wonderful thing about this gift, it's to live the Catholic life, which is to live the life of love. Taxes, for example, taxes were never part of, you know, Christianity. It was only after Henry VIII confiscated everything in the church and said he is the church. He was the head of the church. What happened at that point? The nuns were gone. Who took care of what? Took care of the orphanages and the convents and the schools and the hospitals. The brothers were gone. The parishes were gone that took care of the poor. And so therefore he had to start taxing. Taxation is not Catholic. It has nothing to do with Catholicism. We are to give a percentage of what we make to the church. Why? So the church can help the poor. You know, it's to love the poor, to care for the sick, the suffering, the dying, the orphans, the widows. Once the church is not there, then we go back into law, taxation, where you are forced to give, and or you go to jail. So our job is to enter into this Catholic life, as Jesus says. They make feasts, they kiss each other, and where they don't have this love, it's saddened and they withdraw. They lose this. So Jesus's divine qualities carry the mark, he says, of the divine will and the life of the divine will. And this is what God wants us to enter into again, to enter into a Catholic life, a universal life, where there is peace, joy, and happiness, where no one, even if they're suffering, is at a loss. Why? It's to give so that others are alive. And that's why the divine will cannot be given to people with contraceptives mentality. It's impossible. They've already said no to God, no to life. And therefore God can't give them anything. He can't give them this abundant life of the divine will. Even bishops and priests and nuns who have a contraceptive mentality. What does that mean? It's better not to have life. Our job is to be open to life. That's why Humanae Vitae was our test. And because we failed that test of what it means to be human, what it means to have human life, because we failed that test, we're living in the situation today that we're suffering through. But God is going to win. See, we're going to enter into this divine qualities, this font of love, this life of love. Jesus says, I want you to drown in this infinite ocean of love, never to leave it. And when we hear drown, we go, oh, what's going on? No, it's everything else doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the love of God, to participate in God, one with God. So volume 12, 2, 24, 19, 19, the masterpiece of the creative power in whom, not in sprays, but in waves, in rivers, in this abundance, the is the eternal one who pours out his divine love, his divine beauty, his divine masterpiece. Taken by excess of divine love, God places himself as the center of man. But God wanted a worthy dwelling. So what does this uncreated majesty do? He creates mankind. He creates Adam in his image and likeness. God draws a breath from the depth of his divine love, and he breathes this omnipotent breath, and he infuses divine life in Adam, endowing Adam with all of God's divine qualities, proportioned to the creature, making him a little God. Image and likeness. Ah, daughter of my heart, if you knew how beautiful the soul, your soul is, how many divine qualities your soul contains, how among all created things, your soul surpasses everything in divine beauty, in divine power, in divine light, so much so that it can be said that your soul is a little God, a little world that contains everything within herself. Oh, how much more would she esteem herself and would not dirty with the slightest sin a divine beauty so rare, so pretentious, a prodigy of the creative power. Therefore, come into my divine will, together with me, Jesus. Come to substitute for all our brothers before the throne of the Eternal One, for all the acts that they should do, for having been created as a prodigy of divine love, of God's omnipotence, and yet they are so ungrateful. This is the rounds. Come into my divine will, and together with me, come to substitute for all our brothers and sisters, all those that do not love God, that do not know God, that don't want God. He says, in one instant, listen to this. See, this is what's going to happen to each and every one of us. In one instant, we found ourselves before the Supreme Majesty, and in the name of everyone, we expressed our love, the thanksgiving, the adoration for having created us in such a great excess of love, and endowed us with so many beautiful divine qualities. This is the new Jerusalem. This is the new heavens, the new earth. This is what our God wants us to get ready for. It's a new beginning that's coming. And I know some people want to go back to the 50s and patch up the church. No, it's you have to understand, we're entering into a new beginning. What God, he's closing the door and opening another. Why? This is the third fiat. This is the time of sanctification. This is what God has planned from the beginning. And there was the time of the Father of creation, the time of the Son of redemption, and now it's the time of the Holy Spirit of sanctification. It's a new beginning. And our job is to say fiat, fiat voluntas tua in this new era. It's begun. And God is asking us to enter into it as much as we want or as little as we want. He has to give us what we want. And so that's what he's saying. In one instant, we found ourselves before the Supreme Majesty. In the name of everyone, past, present, and future, we expressed our love and thanksgiving and adoration for having created us with such great excess of love and endowed us with so many beautiful divine qualities. Thank you, Jesus. Let us begin to live this. Volume 12, 3, 14, 19, 19. And when Luisa's lay confessor added, once you did for me a beautiful suffrage, if you knew the good you did for me, the refreshment I felt. Now, this is important for us to learn how to pray for the souls that we love that have died. And all souls that have died. If you knew the good that you did for me, the refreshment that I felt, the years that I paid off in purgatory, and I don't remember, tell me what it was, and I shall repeat it for you. And he said, listen to this. This is what a soul from purgatory is telling Luisa, a soul that she helped. And this could be our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners who've gone before us. You immersed yourself in the divine volition. You took its power, the immensity of its divine love, and the immense value of the pains of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and of all the divine qualities. And you came over me and poured them upon me. And as you poured them, I received the bath of love that was the divine power, that the divine power contains, a bath of beauty, divine beauty, a bath of the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, and of all the other divine qualities. Who can tell you the good that you did to me? They were all baths that contained a divine power, a divine immensity. Repeat it for me. Repeat it for me. This is a prayer that helps all your loved ones who have gone before you. Pray for them. Pray for them in the divine will. Learn from Luisa how to pray the way that helps the souls in a very, very powerful way. Again, this was a priest who died. This was a confessor of Luisa who died, who was in purgatory. You have to understand, you have to be, as we read earlier, you have to be perfect to get to heaven. You have to resemble God to get into heaven. You have to be purged of everything that is of the fallen human nature. Jesus is going to show you how to do this. Volume 12, 115, 19, 20. The one who enters into my divine will, that's us, hopefully, shall find many springing fonts, and as much as he may take, they never decrease by one drop. So this is, again, you're seeing heaven. So therefore, there is the font of love that mightily sprouts its waves, and as much as it sprouts, it always springs. And there is the font of divine beauty, and no matter how many beauties it puts out, it never fades. On the contrary, it springs with ever new and ever more beautiful beauties. There is the font of wisdom, the font of contentments, the font of goodness, the font of power, the font of mercy, the font of justice, and all the rest of my divine qualities. See, Jesus wants us to live this now, not after we die. He says this to Luisa. Redemption, he says, why I rose from the dead was not for after you die, but before you die, to live this resurrected life. Listen to a number of homilies from Pope St. John Paul II. He says, we are a resurrected faith. We are a resurrected people. We have to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 12, 3, 8, 19, 21. For the decorum of my divine will that must dwell in you, I, God, must pour so much grace, so much love, as to make you surpass all the other souls. You see what Jesus is doing? Until this point, there were saints. And as a matter of fact, Luisa was called Luisa La Santa when she was alive. And Father Bucci says that the church will recognize Luisa as the saint of the church. Why? She's the newborn. She's the firstborn. She's the human who possesses all the qualities that Adam lost. Integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. And God wants to give this to us. And since my divine will has the supremacy over everything, it is eternal, it is immense, it is infinite. And there, where the life of my divine will must have its beginning and contemplation, I, God, must communicate to you, Luisa, to endow you, Luisa, to enrich you, Luisa, with the same divine qualities of my divine will, giving you, Luisa, supremacy over everything. This is why the church is going to recognize Luisa as the saint of the church. We haven't seen anything yet. What's coming is just going to astonish us forever. What's coming? Again, there's nothing to be upset about. God is in charge. He's going to win. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is here. Volume 12, 3, 12, 21. My life, Jesus. If the souls who shall have life in your volition shall be rainbows, and what colors be the rainbows of these, what colors of these rainbows of peace? So Jesus says that the children of the vine will be rainbows of peace. Don't be afraid of the rainbow. There are seven colors to the rainbow. There are others who are using the rainbow with six colors, and that's on purpose. It's one less of perfection. But the seven colors of the rainbow are for us. This is what God has planned. And Jesus, all goodness, he says, this is us. Listen to this, he's talking about us. Their qualities and colors shall be all divine, that shall blaze with the most beautiful and radiant colors that are love, goodness, power, wisdom, sanctity, mercy, justice. The variety of these colors shall be as light in the darkness of the night. By the virtue of these colors, they shall make daylight arise in the minds of creatures. Daylight arises in the minds of man. They're going to arise in your brothers and sisters, going to arise in every human being on earth. We're going to see what God has planned for us. Volume 13, 7, 14, 19, 21. My divine will is more than sun. And as the soul enters into its burning rays, she receives life. And as she keeps repeating her acts in my volition, she receives now my divine beauty, now my divine sweetness, my divine fecundity, now my divine goodness and my divine sanctity. So each time the soul enters into these rays of my divine will, the rays of the divine will, of the sun of the divine will. That's why the Book of Heaven, the Sun of My Divine Will, written by the Vatican, is Luisa Picaretta. So many more divine qualities she receives. And oh, how many varied beauties of how much divine liveliness of colors, how many divine fragrances the soul acquires. If these souls could be seen by other creatures, other souls, they would form their paradise on earth. So great is their beauty. These souls in the divine will are my reflectors. These souls in the most holy divine will are my true images. That's what God has planned. That's what God has planned, to be in his image and likeness. Volume 14, 2, 17, 19, 22. Even though the intelligence takes the directing role in which the human will of man resides, if he does not want it, one can say that the eye does not see, the hand does not operate, the foot does not walk. So if you don't take this, you can't be fully human. You're only stuck in the fallen human nature, redeemed, but you've only learned how to do the will of God. He says, on the other hand, if the soul wants, now he's talking about us, the eye sees, the hand operates, the foot runs, all the members place themselves in accord. The same with my divinity. My divine will takes the directing role. See what he's saying? And all the other divine attributes place themselves in full harmony to follow what my divine will wants. So, divine wisdom, divine power, divine science, divine goodness, etc., concur. Everything works together. And since all my divine attributes, although distinct among themselves, live in the font of divine love, they overflow with divine love. Here is why. While it is love that runs, it is love that acts, it is love that gives itself to all my other divine attributes that concur together with love. See, we're going to begin to live a true Catholic life, a true Catholic life of love. Volume 14, 5, 12, 19, 22. Now, the soul who lives in my divine will takes part in all my divine attributes. And together with me, she concurs in each of my acts. So we work with one, with, in, through, and for Jesus, as Jesus works one in, with, through, and for mankind. Volume 14, 5, 15, 19, 22. Now, I, God, want to show you how I love you. Okay, now, he's saying this to Luisa, but he's also saying this to us. So he showed his heart open. So he shows his sacred heart. And an immense sea of divine power, divine wisdom, divine goodness, divine love, divine beauty, divine sanctity came out from within his sacred heart. And in each center of these seas, it was written, Luisa, daughter of my immensity. He puts our name there too. daughter of my power, daughter of my wisdom, daughter of my goodness, daughter of my love, daughter of my beauty, daughter of my sanctity. The more I look, the more I remain confounded. And Jesus, did you see how much I love you? And now, not only in my heart, but in all of my divine attributes, I, God, carry your name written. And this name of yours written in me, Jesus, makes every new current of divine grace, of divine light, divine love, open towards you. You are going to begin to experience the love of God as you've never experienced the love of God before. Because you have experienced the love of God through the saints to this point by doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God, you're going to experience the love that Jesus has for his mother. You're going to experience the love that Mary has for her son. You're going to enter into the love of the new Adam and of the new Eve, not just the love of the saints who love Jesus and Mary, but you're going to participate in this newness of life. Volume 14, 9:15, 1922. It is true that you have the link, the graft with my divine will. But here it is not about you, Louisa, but about me. So Louisa is our link to the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It is about making known to us, this is what Louisa is doing, the effects, the qualities, the values contained in my divine will operating in the soul who reads this, who studies this, who puts this into practice when she lives in it. That's what it means to live in it. Volume 14, 10, 19, 19, 22. Now, I, God, want you, Louisa, and us reading this, together with me, also in my interior acts that my humanity did in the supreme volition. It is right that I, God, would make known to you the divine qualities, the divine value, the divine effects, the divine power, and the divine way that this divine will of mine has. And as I keep manifesting them to you, I, God, open between you and me the participation that which I make you know. Okay, so as we learn this, he's teaching us how to enter into this life. And again, for some people, it's an aha right away. For others, they got to read it and they got to expand their capacity. God expands their capacity. Then they read it again. Then they expand their capacity. And then you go, aha, this is what he means. You enter into this life of Jesus, this life of Mary. He says he's manifesting these gifts to us. And he's asking us, would you be willing to say yes to this? Volume 15, 12, 8, 19, 22. Mary, our queen, dominated us, triune God. Bound us, triune God. Snatched infinite graces from us, triune God. Mary made us, triune God, incline so much toward mankind that we could not resist, nor did we know how to resist the Blessed Mother's repeated petitions. But whence, by what it means, came to her so much power and such grace ascendancy over our very divinity? Ah, you have understood. It was the power of our divine will acting in the Blessed Mother that while dominating the Blessed Mother, rendered the Blessed Mother dominator of God himself. Then how could we resist such so innocent a creature possessed by the power of the sanctity of our divine will? It would be as though resisting ourselves. We could see our divine qualities in the Blessed Mother like waves, the reverberations of our divine sanctity, the reverberations of the divine manners of our divine love, our divine power poured upon the Blessed Mother, as well as our divine will. That was her center. So the center of the divine will is found in the Blessed Mother. Now, if you look at Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling, she holds the Trinity in her where her heart is. It's the center of her life is the Holy Trinity. Drawing all of the reverberations of our divine qualities and making itself crown and defense of the divinity dwelling in Mary. She, when you look at the Blessed Mother, you see the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. And those that say they are filled with the Holy Spirit and don't have the Blessed Mother, who do they have if it's not the Blessed Mother? Vibes 15:7-1, 1923. When the creature comes to throw the little pebble of her human will into the immense ocean, the sea of my divinity, as she throws it, if her human will wants to love, the infinite ocean, this infinite sea of the waters of my love ripple, they are stirred. And I, God, feel the wave of my love giving off their celestial fragrance. And I, God, feel the pleasure, the joys of my love being stirred by the little pebble of the human will of the soul. You see, that's why right at the beginning we said we have to empty ourselves of our human will. We throw it into this infinite ocean. If the soul adores my sanctity, the little pebble of her human will stirs the sea, this ocean of my divine sanctity. And I, God, feel delighted by the most pure auras of my divine sanctity, not human sanctity. In sum, wherever the human will wants to do in mine, it flings itself like a little pebble into this ocean, the sea of my divine attributes. And as it stirs them, ripples them, I, God, feel I am given my own things and the honors, the glory, the love of the creature in a divine manner that they can give to me. Because it's done in the divine will. It's not the human will that does this anymore. Vine 15:7-11, 1923. Having chosen you in order to deposit in you the divine sanctity and the divine goods, the divine effects, the divine attitude of my supreme will, it was appropriate, just and decorous for the very sanctity that my divine will contains, that a minister of mine, a priest of mine, should assist you and be the first depository of the goods that my divine will contains. So again, the priesthood is needed. Why? This has to come from the church. And a lot of people Protestantize the divine will by teaching the divine will, and it's not a priest. It's like a layperson giving a homily in the pulpit. It's not a homily. It's a nice talk. But the homily comes from ordination. The truth that is spoken touches the hearts and souls of the people through the shepherds, not through the laity. So don't humanize, laicize, Protestantize the divine will. So as they pass from his lap, see, as the priest's lap into the whole body of the church, what great attention is required of you and of the priests, of you in receiving from me, like a second mother to me, the great gift of the divine will, and knowing its divine qualities in them, the priests, by receiving them from you, Luisa, so that the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven may be fulfilled in my church. Jesus says the divine will is this sacrament of sacraments. You need a priest to do this. I know this is hard for people to say, well, there's no priests. Well, there are priests. Jesus says, if I have to use 12 to start my church, he says, I'll use 12. He says, but I'm going to have an army of priests. Go to your priest with this. Ask your priest to read it. And he might say no, but don't get discouraged. You find the good holy priests and you ask them, would you please read this? Help me understand this. And through the priest, you will understand it. You have to, this is not for lay people to teach. You know, don't Protestantize it. This is the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. This is, Jesus says, the sacrament of sacraments. The holy priesthood is needed, as you can see with Luisa. I give it to you, Luisa. You're the queen. You're the little queen of the divine will. You're the daughter of the great queen, Mary. And this now has to be given to the world through the priests. 5:16-7:30, 1923. The rays of my divine will empty the soul, Luisa, of what is human and fill Luisa with what is divine. So, see, a lot of people say, well, I'm like Luisa. No, you're not like Luisa. Sorry. Luisa is the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. I know some people say, I don't need a spiritual director. Luisa didn't have a spiritual director. You're not Luisa. I'm sorry. This book is of Luisa, given to us, and we follow what the Holy Church says. So one can see in Luisa the beautiful rainbow of my divine attributes. Therefore, my daughter, Luisa, enter often into my divine will to receive the tints and the various colors of the likeness of your God. This is what's happening. This is what's happening with us as we read this, as we study this. This is what's happening with us and the Holy Church. The Holy Church is on the verge of something magnificent. It's, you know, don't think it's somebody said to me, oh, all this out there is just discouraging. It's so discouraging. No, read the divine will. You'll be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. What's coming is at the door. Well, it's even closer than that. It's here because of Louisa. 5:16, 5:13, 1924. So the accord of the human will with the divine is the first link of the connection between God and man. And from it, the divine virtues descend into Louisa as within a channel, producing in Louisa true adoration and perfect love for her creator. And rising from that same channel of connection, Louisa receives the different tints of the divine qualities. And every time Louisa rises in order to dive into this eternal will, Louisa embellished by it, and acquires as many more varieties of divine beauty. So that's what's happening with Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. Never do this without Louisa. Never, never enter into this gift. That's why read and study and put into practice what Jesus teaches Louisa. This is why I say that the soul who does my divine will is my amusement, my contentment. In order to amuse myself, I, God, keep the brush of my divine will in my hands. And as the soul dives into my divine will, I touch her up and I amuse myself by impressing on the soul with a brushstroke all of God, one more shade of God's divine beauty, of God's divine love, of God's divine sanctity, of all of God's divine qualities. So for me, God, being in Louisa and the soul's link to Louisa, being in heaven are the same. I find the same adorations of the divine persons, my divine will, my divine love. So what's happening is you begin to live heaven on earth. That's the beauty of this. You begin to live heaven on earth. Again, with everybody doom and glooming everything, we're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. It's to begin to enter the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which Jesus and Mary wanted from the beginning. 5:17, 9:2, 1924. How can I leave you? Have I worked so much in your soul? It's the same thing with Jesus says to us. If we're reading, studying, if we're truly trying to be Catholic, being open to life, how can God leave you? He's got plans. He predestined us to live at this time because he has plans. Take a look at how much I had to work. Let's look at our lives. While saying this, he showed me the sumptuous of a great palace and the working by his hands in the depth of my soul. And then he resumed his speaking. My daughter, how can I leave you? Take a look at how many rooms. They're almost innumerable. As many knowledges, effects, values, and qualities that I've made to you in my divine will. You're going to learn this beautiful mansion that he's building is within us. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus says. He's perfecting it now. So many rooms I have formed in you in which to deposit all of those goods found in the book of heaven. 5:17, 10, 11, 19, 24. Each truth that I've manifested to you in the book of heaven was a particle of my divine qualities with which I, God, embellished and filled your soul. Each grace, each coming of mine to you were gifts that I, God, poured upon you. I did nothing but multiply my communications almost at each instant so as to portray in you, in us, my variety, various beauties, my likenesses, that you might live with me in heaven and I might live with you on earth. See, it becomes God's palace. And God begins to reign in us. We become to reign in him. 5:17, 4:15, 1925. Therefore, because my divine will exists in heaven and I on earth, it is the sole, listen to this, and only it is the sole and only one that possesses all goods. Because my divine will exists in heaven and earth, it is the sole and only one that possesses all goods. I was to choose a creature, Louisa, to whom I was to entrust and the deposit of the knowledges about it, making known to Louisa as to a second mother the divine qualities, the divine value, and the prerogatives of it, that Louisa might love it and jealously keep the deposit of it. And it was just as my celestial mother Mary, the true depository of the goods of redemption, is generous with whomever wants of them, so shall the second mother, Louisa, be generous in making known all the deposits of my teachings, the sanctity of it, and the good that my divine will wants to give, how it lives unknown in the midst of creatures, and how from the beginning of creation of Adam, it yearns, it prays, it supplicates that mankind return to his origin, that is, back into my divine will, and that the rights of its sovereignty over the creatures be given back to it. So everything is ready. Everything is ready. God has got this all planned, and he's chosen us to live at this time to give us the book of heaven. The sacred scriptures come alive when you read the book of heaven. Your breviary becomes alive when you read the book of heaven. When you read the lives of the saints, it becomes alive. Now, this is why the saint was doing this, pointing to us what was coming, pointing to us this great gift of the divine will. Everything becomes alive in the divine will. You're going to understand things in the Holy Church that you've never understood before. Like Humanae Vitae. When you read Humanae Vitae, what does it say? What is of human life? If we understand what human life is, we will then possess divine life. That's what's coming. Volume 17, 5-1, 1925. Do you not feel how my divine will, you embrace everyone and everything from the first to the last creature that is to exist upon earth? And for everyone, you would want to satisfy, love, please, this supreme will, binding it to everyone, removing all obstacles that prevent its dominion within all souls. Make it known to every soul, past, present, and future. You expose yourself, even with pains, to satisfy the supreme will for everyone that so much loves to make itself known and to reign in the midst of creatures. To you, Louisa, firstborn daughter of my divine will, it is given to make known the divine qualities, the divine value, the divine good that the divine will contains, and its eternal sorrow of living unknown, hidden in the midst of the human generations. Even more, despised and offended by the evil and placed by the good at the level of other virtues. A lot of people say, well, the divine will is just like everything else. No, it's not. It's not what Jesus taught Louisa. You can't find in any other book, only in the book of heaven. He says, despised and offended by evil and even placed at the good at the level of other virtues, as if it was a little lamp like all the other virtues, not a sun that my most holy divine will is. That's why the book that the Vatican came out with, it's the sun of my divine will. The sun of my divine will, S-U-N, is Louisa. Volume 17, 6, 11, 1925. My divine will is the balance of my divine attributes. If it were not for my divine will that gives ever new life, my divine wisdom, listen to this, would not manifest so much art, so much mastery in our divine works. Our divine beauty would be faded without the attraction if it were not sustained by this eternal will of God. Mercy would turn into weakness if it were not balanced by my most holy divine will. And so with all the rest of our divine attributes. Now, our paternal goodness has so much love for the creature that it has established the balance of mankind within our divine will. And since man had come out of the supreme will, it was right that this divine will make itself the life and maintain the balance of all the operating of mankind, giving back to mankind the likeness of his creator. Such dignity, majesty, and order in acting were to be seen in mankind, in Adam, to make him to be recognized as birth from his maker. Therefore, also from one's acting, one can be seen whether there is the balance of my divine will or that of the human will. Okay, so what's the balance of the divine will? Peace, joy, and happiness. What's the balance of the human will? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, doubt, sin. God wants to get rid of that. He says, I want you to enter into my peace. He says, if you're not peaceful, I can't be there. That's what Our Lady says. Peace must start within you. Why? She's getting us ready for the kingdom. If the peace is not within you, if the peace is not within you, you can't have God. God only will dwell within peace. That's why Our Lady keeps on saying, pray the Holy Rosary. Meditate on the life of Jesus and Mary. Look at Jesus with the eyes of love, the love of Mary. Volume 19, 1926. You cannot understand the feast you make for us when we, triune God, see your littleness, that wanting to embrace everything in our divine will repays us, triune God, in love and glory for all created things. Our joy is so great that we put aside everything to enjoy the love and the feast that you give to us, triune God. Therefore, to live in the supreme will, listen to this, is the greatest thing for us, triune God, and for the soul. Why? It is the outpouring of the creator over the creature. It is outpouring of himself, God, over the soul. God gives to the soul his shape and makes her share in all the divine qualities in such a way that we, triune God, feel our divine work, our divine joy, our divine happiness being repeated in the soul in the divine will. That's us. Therefore, the living in my divine will is the prodigy of prodigies, because everything is in the will, both for God and for the soul. How many things could we, triune God, do because we, triune God, how many things we could do, but because we do not want them, we do not do them. When we, triune God, want something, we are all love, all power, all hands, eyes, feet, and some. All of our divine being is centralized in the act that our divine will wants to do. On the other hand, if our divine will does not want it, none of our divine attributes moves. It seems they have no life for anything that our divine will does not want to do. So our divine will holds supremacy, dominion over our being, and it is the ruler of all of God's divine attributes. This is why the greatest thing that we, triune God, could give to the soul, give to the creature, was our divine will. And in our divine will, we, triune God, centralize our whole being. Could there be a love more intense, a love more, a miracle more sensational than this? It's to begin to share in divinity. Volume 19, 6/21, 1926. Now, my daughter, if Aloysius, this is St. Aloysius, is so beautiful, it's because he bloomed from my holy humanity. That's the saints, blooming from the holy humanity of Christ. And what shall be of you and of all those souls who shall possess the kingdom of my divine will? Listen to this. This is a hint God is giving us. These flowers shall not bloom for my holy humanity, but shall have their roots within the sun of my divine will. S-U-N of my divine will. In it is formed the flowers of their life, the flower of their life, and they grow, they bloom in the very sun of my volition. That jealous of these flowers shall keep them eclipsed within its own light. So he saved the best for last. In each petal of these flowers, one shall see written all the specialties of the divine qualities, and there shall be the enchantment of all of heaven. They shall be the enchantment of all of heaven, and all in heaven shall recognize them as, listen to this, the complete work of their creator. Finally, we are going to go back to where Adam was before the fall. So we'll end there. We'll be back in an hour in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.